Now I'd like to spend some time talking about the good fats and bad fats. All fats in our diets were initially condemned due to guilt by association. The dominant fat was saturated fat, and since there was good evidence that this fat was dangerous, all fats were presumed dangerous. To avoid saturated fats in the diet, a special type of polyunsaturated fat became popular, the trans fats. They are the partially hydrogenated oils in so many commercial products, including cakes, cookies, and margarines. Unfortunately, they are more dangerous than saturated fats. They increase the bad cholesterol, the LDL, and decrease the good cholesterol, the HDL. And they are associated with heart attacks and strokes. An ever-growing body of research documents that many fats do not have the adverse effects of the saturated and trans fats. In fact, evidence is building that the polyunsaturated fats and the non-trans fats are actually good for us. Where the so-called Mediterranean oils are used abundantly, heart attack and stroke rates are very low. The most impressive diet study ever reported was the French Lyon Heart Study. Here, the combination monounsaturated and omega-3 fish oil fat, canola oil, was used in a spread by one half of the patients studied. All those in the study had already had heart attacks, but those receiving the good fat had a 70% decrease in subsequent heart attacks. This was a very impressive result. Another large clinical trial, entitled the GC Prevention Trial, showed that fish oil capsules with omega-3 polyunsaturated fish oil decreased sudden deaths. Several studies have shown that eating fish a few times a week helps prevent heart attacks and strokes. Finally, a number of studies have documented that several forms of nuts that are rich in mono and polyunsaturated fats help prevent heart attacks and strokes. This gives us a great variety of foods, oils, and spreads that can make our meals taste great while actually improving our health. So including the right fats in the South Beach diet was an easy call, looking better all the time as more studies are reported. Once we fine-tuned the diet, it seemed ready for a real test drive. We photocopied the rules, plus some basic meal plans and a list of permitted and prohibited foods, along with a few simple recipes. We began handing them out to patients. Again, our top priority was not weight loss for its own sake. It was to improve our patients' heart health by changing their blood chemistry. We wanted a diet that would lower triglycerides, that's fats carried in the blood, which are necessary but which in excess cause serious cardiovascular damage, and LDL, the low-density lipoproteins, the so-called bad cholesterol. We were looking for a decrease in LDL both as a total number and as compared to the level of HDL, high-density lipoproteins, the so-called good cholesterol. We were also trying to affect one more thing, something that many doctors, unfortunately, have yet to give its proper due, the actual size of the LDL particles. When these are small, they easily squeeze beneath the blood vessel linings and narrow the passageways with a buildup of fatty plaques that can eventually lead to a heart attack or a stroke. Using the right diet, we have learned it is actually possible to increase the size of the LDL particles. As a result, they don't slip under the blood vessel lining as readily, and so won't clog the arteries and cause a future emergency. Most doctors don't yet test for this crucial factor. In fact, most blood labs don't have the equipment required to determine the size of LDL molecules. In the not-too-distant future, however, measuring LDL size will become standard operating procedure, as common as cholesterol testing is today. Our secondary goal, of course, was weight loss, because when it occurs, it's a sign that a patient's blood chemistry is coming under control. It wasn't my intention to create a diet for my patients to attain the lean, mean physical perfection typically associated with South Beach. Almost at once, the patients who went on our diet began to experience positive results. Their blood chemistries and their waistlines improved dramatically. One patient who lives in the Bahamas came to us in pretty bad shape. His blood work showed high triglycerides, high bad cholesterol, small LDL particles, the triple threat. To make matters worse, he had stubbornly vowed never to exercise. It bored him, he said. And he refused to give up his beloved daily dish of ice cream. With attitudes like that, he was headed for trouble. But on our diet, his blood chemistry improved quickly. Triglycerides down, bad cholesterol down, good cholesterol up. He never did exercise either, and he still has his daily ice cream. But as a result of the diet, he's lost almost 30 pounds, and it stayed off for 5 years. Another man was in his mid-50s when he became my patient. His blood pressure was high, just like his cholesterol and triglycerides, and he already had noticeable narrowing in his coronary arteries. To treat those problems, his previous doctor had prescribed a standard cocktail of drugs that heart patients everywhere depend on. We put him on the South Beach diet, and before long, his cardiac profile improved. His triglycerides, for instance, had been 400, frighteningly high. After a month on the diet, it had fallen to below 100, an optimal level. And he had lost more than 30 pounds, which he's kept off. And he's no longer taking all those heart medications. Another patient should have known better. He is a physician, after all. But he was also an overweight diabetic who had recently begun suffering chest pains. He had undergone one angioplasty to open a blocked coronary artery, but it had begun to close again. After our first consultation, I put him on the diet. His wife did the cooking, and understandably, she found it easier to eat what he ate rather than prepare two different dinners every night. She lost weight, too. This particular dynamic has been a pleasant surprise for us, couples losing weight and improving cardiac health together because one of them has to diet. It becomes a shared effort, and they help keep each other on the wagon. In fact, the doctor's wife lost more weight than he did. Between them, they dropped over 80 pounds, and before long, his blood chemistry had normalized. His diabetes resolved, so he no longer requires medication to control his blood sugar and his cholesterol. And his arteries have stayed clear, no more chest pains. These cardiology patients lost 10, 20, 30, even 50 pounds within months. They started losing as soon as they went on the diet, within the first week. They kept it off, too. Best of all, they reported that the regimen wasn't difficult. The few basic principles were simple and easy to remember, and the rules were flexible. Dieters said they never felt hungry or deprived. After a while, they barely noticed that they were dieting. Many of the patients, male and female, had what we call central obesity. Excess weight concentrated around the midsection. Physicians measure waist-to-hip ratio to gauge a patient's pattern of obesity. When the waist is bigger than the hips, it's a warning sign for present or future heart problems. The first part of the body this diet affects is the waistline. That's where middle-aged fat tends to be stored, so that's where the loss is most noticeable. Our patients felt sleeker after just a week or so on the diet. This was very encouraging to the dieters and gave them inspiration they needed to stick with the program. After years of prescribing failed diets, I was ecstatic with the results. Before long, however, there was yet another pleasant surprise. We began getting calls and reports from friends and acquaintances of our patients who had heard about the diet, tried it, and were successfully losing weight. Our patients, we discovered, had begun suggesting the diet to family members, friends, and far-flung relations. Thanks to faxes and emails, it was spreading like wildfire. People who had no heart problems at all, even the youngest and most stylish denizens of South Beach, were hearing about the diet, trying it, and shedding pounds. We started handling a steady stream of questions from people we'd never met, long-distance calls in many cases, folks asking what the diet did and did not allow, or requesting recipes and volunteering stories of quick, painless weight loss. Then, reporters began calling. It's amazing how much space in newspapers and magazines is devoted to weight loss. It's become a spectator sport. In early 1999, we got a call from a news producer at the local ABC TV affiliate. They had heard about us and offered a proposition. they'd find a sampling of South Florida residents who wanted to lose weight and put them on our diet. The 6 and 11 p.m. news would then track their progress daily over the course of an entire month. We were very excited by the idea, confident, but a little bit nervous too. The series ran every day during the sweeps period, when ratings are used to set advertising rates. Hundreds of South Floridians went on the diet and lost weight. The station also succeeded. It won the ratings race, moving to first place among nightly news shows, attributed in part to the South Beach Diet Project. The station's news director termed it, and I quote, a huge success with our viewers, and reported receiving hundreds of phone calls and emails requesting copies of the plan. The South Beach Diet Series became an annual event for the station, 3 years running. Our program became a full-fledged municipal endeavor down here. Brochures explaining the diet and the recipes were handed out at supermarkets. These supermarkets reported high interest and increased sales of the items we recommended. I've accepted many invitations to lecture about our diet at medical meetings where physicians and others gather to discuss advances in cardiac care, including prevention and diet. In the beginning, because I am a cardiologist, I expected to be grilled rigorously on my nutritional knowledge. It soon became clear that the diet was scientifically sound. Even better, doctors have begun trying the diet themselves and reporting back to me about their successes. So many doctors have lost weight and improved their blood chemistries on the South Beach plan that it's become known as the doctor's diet. Many of the dieters who came to us through the TV news coverage have been in their 20s and 30s. One young woman, 30 pounds overweight, had been trying to conceive for 7 years. She tried the diet, lost the weight in just a few months, and then discovered she was pregnant. Though we were willing to take partial credit for this pleasant turn of events, it wasn't until a year later that I discovered why the diet had allowed her to conceive. There is a condition called polycystic ovary syndrome that is a common cause of infertility and abnormal periods in young women. It turns out that it is due to insulin resistance or prediabetes. By reversing this syndrome with a diet, our patient's periods normalize and a successful pregnancy followed. She's now enjoying her lovely little daughter. Another woman, also in her 30s, an entrepreneur, put her entire company on the program, and they all lost weight together. Many of the nurses here at Mount Sinai have become familiar with the diet and almost casually have begun following it. They often stop me in the hospital corridors to give me updates on their weight loss and ask questions. We were encouraged by how easy it is to learn and put into practice the operating principles of this program. For example, one of the TV news cameramen reported that he had lost weight based solely on the information he picked up in the course of taping my interviews. A couple of years ago, I described the principles behind the diet almost offhandedly to a young colleague at a medical meeting. A year later, I was pleasantly surprised to see he had lost 50 pounds on the basis of my shorthand explanation. That's become a hallmark of the South Beach diet. The basics are easily learned and applied, with no complicated rules, charts, or calculations. At that point, we decided it was time to try and measure our results in a scientific setting. First, we tracked in detail the weight and blood results of 60 patients who had gone on the diet. The results were encouraging. Almost all experienced significant weight loss, lowered triglycerides, lowered LDL cholesterol, raised HDL, and improved waist-to-hip ratio. I presented this initial experience at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute Symposium at the annual American Heart Association meeting. The director of the NHLBI acted as moderator of the session. While I was experienced in presenting at such research meetings, I had always done so in the area of heart imaging, my specialty. Now I was out of my comfort zone and very nervous, giving a presentation on diet and nutrition. I feared I'd be deluged with hostile questions raising points we hadn't considered. Instead, the very first response from the audience was to congratulate me for having the courage to challenge the American Heart Association's low-fat orthodoxy. It became clear that many of the clinicians in that room had also had discouraging results with recommending low-fat, high-carb diets. I was relieved and very excited that we were clearly on the right track. We then conducted a study pitting our diet against the strict Step 2 American Heart Association diet, which allowed even less fat than the standard Step 1 diet. We randomized 40 overweight volunteers to either of the diets, meaning that half, chosen at random, went on the Heart Association program and half on the South Beach diet. None of these subjects knew where their diet had come from. After 12 weeks, 5 patients on the Heart Association diet had given up, compared to just 1 on the South Beach plan. South Beach diet has experienced a mean weight loss of 13.6 pounds, almost double the 7.5 pounds lost by the Heart Association diet group. Our patients also showed a greater decrease in waist-to-hip ratio, suggesting a true decrease in cardiac risk. Triglycerides dramatically decreased for the South Beach dieters, and their good cholesterol to bad cholesterol ratio improved more than did that of the Heart Association group. We presented this study at the annual national meeting of the American College of Cardiology, where it was well received. We had come a long way since the day I had decided to act as test subject number 1 for the South Beach diet. At this point, the next step practically suggested itself. It was time to put everything we learned into a book and make what happened in South Florida happen across the rest of the country.